All right. Let's pray. Oh God, we just come before you asking that you open our hearts, our minds to receive just what you want. Lord, you've blessed us with so much. Our heart is just open to you. Mold us. Expose us, Lord, to the things that you want us to retain. Encourage us. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. There's sometimes in life when I become very complacent. I'll come to church, I'll sing, I'll feel good, I'll fellowship. Life seems like it's going really well. And then I start realizing that maybe I'm just kind of circling the airport a little bit too much, and there's a time for really doing things. Now, a couple years ago, there was a book that came out, The Purpose-Driven Church, and then there was a purpose-driven individual or self or something, and it spurred the Christian community. It really stirred it up and said, wait, there's more to life than just coming and fellowshipping and things. There are works for you to do. And if you look at Ephesians 4:11, it talks about when God said, it was he who gave some to be some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be, I'm a little nervous, evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of Christ. We're not there yet. There are works that have to be done. Well, if it's just going to work, it's one thing. But as Denny brought out a couple weeks ago, we have a hindrance in there. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, the authority, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. So as we're going forth trying to do all these good works, we have an adversary, somebody who's going to come against us. And it makes it tough. Now, when Jesus was tempted, he used Scripture. And today what I'm going to do, Dave, if you can hit the next slide. My primary text today is from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We've got good works to do, and how are we going to be equipped? We're going to be trained. I mentioned earlier how there were the fivefold, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who will prepare us, but Scripture as well. Now, I was really blessed last week when Dave was going through the different versions of the Bible. I don't know how many people were here, but it's like, what is the best version? And he went, there's a New International Version, and the New American Standard, and there's the New King James, and there's the Amplified. And does anybody remember what the best version is? The one you read. He missed two, though. I've got the Expanded Bible. That's my favorite one. I've got it at my work office. And if you open it up, you can pull out Genesis and Exodus and this and that one. It's been used so much, the binding's broken. So I just can expand it and pull out any one I want. And it's also been customized by my daughter. On the front page, it's got blue ink all over. It's one of my favorites. And there's another one that, as I'm getting a little bit older, that I'm really starting to like, the LPE. Large print edition. We can all appreciate that version of the Bible as well. Well, as the scripture, our primary text says, all scripture is useful for helping you along your path in life, your Christian walk. And I've done a lot of hiking in my time. And so I learn by association. A couple years ago, my wife got me a little devotional book called Devotions from a Tree Stand. And it was written by Stephen Chapman, and it talked about all the different things that he would experience in a tree stand and how it related to seeing God's work. And I can relate to a lot of that. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to take this one scripture, and I'm going to try and make it so that we can understand it. And I'm going to relate it to our Christian walk, because there are a lot of things that we see in life that God does for us, and sometimes just that connect helps us remember a little bit better. So I'm going to go through this, and there are the four basic things: the teaching, the rebuking, the correcting, and the training in righteousness. And each of these I'm going to relate a little bit to being in your hiking world. The teaching being, it's showing you where the path is. The next one, rebuking, telling you when you've gone off path. Correcting, how do you get back onto it? How do you get back onto that path that God wants you to have? And the training in righteousness is, how do you put up the guardrails so that you can stay on that path and not veer off? And then I'm going to give you a little story or two along the way. So, Dave, if you can hit the next slide, please. The first part talks about that the scripture is useful for teaching. Well, when you read through the book of Exodus, you find out that God went before them as a pillar of fire at night, as a pillar of cloud before them, showing them very much the way. Well, in the hiking world, trails are blazed. I don't know if anyone's here been over to Harrison Hills Park, but if you go there, there are a bunch of different trails. And to distinguish or differentiate between them, some are white blazes, some are blue blazes, they might have a yellow blaze. And when I talk about a blaze, as you can see on the picture on the left on a tree, there's a little white marking. It's about 2 inches by 4 inches. And that's what they use so you don't damage the trees. And they, you see them every couple hundred yards or something, and you know you're on the right path. When you get up above tree line, there are no more trees. So what do? They have the cairns. And these are basically rocks that they just stack up to mark the way. Now, there's some problems with all of this. And what do you do when you're in a snowstorm and all of a sudden all your trees are windblown with snow? It's easy to miss the trail and get off. In the Christian walk, there are times when we don't necessarily see what God has for us. Whether we're not in tune, we're focusing on ourselves too much, we have a tendency to veer off. Now, I can get a little math on you because I'm a nerd here, okay? The red line is a tangent line, and if you're on this path that God has set forward and you're not in tune with where God wants you to go, sometimes you'll just keep going straight and miss it, and you go off at a tangent. And we see this a lot in Scripture. We know that the path has been marked, that there are commandments God gave his people. Where is it? The Ten Commandments we have from the book of Exodus. The Levitical law, they tell you what the path is. But there were times when the nation Israel deviated from the path. And there were consequences for it. And a lot of it had to do with people's pride, with what they wanted, greed. Sometimes it resulted in the stoning of people, the death. A lot of bad things can happen when you miss the word of God. It calls you to stay on that path to know it. And by going into the scripture, by looking at the best version, the one that you're going to read, it's going to help you stay in tune with where God wants. Additionally, as Christians, God has deposited the Holy Spirit in us. We have a guide resident in it. This morning I was talking to my wife about what I should wear, and I don't know if you guys ever noticed Thomas's shoes that light up, a little light along the path. It's like, she said they don't make them for adults, so. God shows us a path, and there are times when we veer off. In the hiking world, what do you do when you miss a trail? I've done this a lot. You know how they say that the Christian path, you run into win the prize, and you'll often hear that it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Well, if you guys want to know about marathon, Glenn's the guy to talk to. In case you guys didn't know that, I found that out about him a few months ago. He's done a number of marathons. In addition to hiking, there was a time when I was doing some trail running. And I was on the Baker Trail, and I was probably about 20 miles in, and I was tired. I wasn't concentrating. I was going, and all of a sudden, there were no more blazes. I was on a logging road, and the trail was set up so you run. And the little path went off to the right, and I missed it. What do you do? Well, when you're running, every quarter mile, every half mile that you go just means that much more. So you backtrack until you see another direction. In the hiking world, it depends how you're carrying your pack. If you're carrying heavy, I usually carried 40 to 50 pounds. I'd put my pack down, and then I'd go forward a couple more hundred yards and see if I could pick up the trail again. If I did, great, come back, get my pack, and go. Otherwise, you go back until you see the last mark. Well, in the Christian world, there are times we have to backtrack too. when we get off the path. And it's not that easy. Sometimes it means in the physical world you have to bushwhack to get back to it. In the Christian world, what do you do when you miss the path? Sometimes you have to atone. If you look in Leviticus, you find out that if you were actually stole something from someone, you had to give them 20% more to atone for it. Leviticus 6:5. And it's tough. It talks about when you're at the altar, making your sacrifice. If things aren't right between you and your brother or anyone else, go and get things right. You got to make restitution. Nice thing about it is that God really loves you, and he's willing to receive you. We all know the story of the prodigal son, the partying son who went out, took his inheritance, and just really spent everything that he had, that he was going to get from his inheritance. He had the good times. When he had a realization that he wasn't on the right path. So he said, whoa, even if I go back and become one of my father's workers, it's a whole lot better than I have it now. And what happened when he went back? The Father was there to receive him. How much more is our Heavenly Father there to receive us when we say, hey, we've done wrong and we've come back to you. He takes us right back to that path. All right. Next slide, please. And then the training in righteousness. We know the scripture, Proverbs 22, about train a child in the way that he is young, and when he's older, he will not deviate from it. Well, how do we train ourselves to stay on the path? If you read in scripture, I know a lot of people will read a proverb every day, a psalm every day in a chapter or so. You got to stay in the Word. It helps us stay on the path. We know what God wants for us. We see the wisdom. Whereas the training, I equate to knowledge. Staying on the path, the training is actually wisdom. And wisdom, the application of knowledge. We've all had a lot of schooling, learning. But until you actually apply it, that's the training. If you have a problem with alcohol, you don't go to bars. If you've got drugs, you may need new friends. You need to put up the guardrails in your life. So that way, you're staying away from the dangers. I know that sometimes when you're going along, the road looks tough ahead of you. You don't really want to go that way. And sometimes we take the easy route. Take the high road, take the low road. And there are problems with that. If it's not the road that God has intended for you, you're only going to get yourself in deeper. And sometimes it's even tougher. I know that when you're hiking, when you're off the trail, it'll start to diminish. Maybe even go down to a deer path or something like that. You know you're on the wrong path. And to get back, if you know the stream and the trail is on the right, bushwhacking through, you hit the multiflora roses or whatever, it's not easy to get there. Same's true with our normal Christian life. When we deviate, when we've offended others, it's tough to come and say, hey, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. But we all know that it's the right path for us. God has a place for us. Not necessarily the way that's going to be the easiest. It's not necessarily the way that we want to go. Sometimes it's really tough. I mentioned there are times when we get lost. There are a few times when I've been hiking, and you get up on top of a mountaintop, and it's all beautiful or something like that. You pitch your tent. You wake up in the morning, and you're covered with fog. And it's like, okay, you pack up your tent, you get everything together, and you look at the trail, and you say, oh, I'm on top, and I remember I had to go down next, but do I go right or do I go left? Sometimes we don't know. We may be thinking we're doing the right things. You got to search and see what God has intended for you. You put up the guardrails in life. In the hiking world, I ended up putting my hiking stick pointing the way I was always going to go, so no matter what happened in the morning, I knew I was in the right direction. But you can align yourself with the Word of God. You need to take time to pray, Yeah, that's important, fellowship. But it's also important just to get back to the Word, the basics. The version you like the most. All right. Yeah, next slide, please, Dave. So what's the end result of all this? Is that as you're going along, you're going to be prepared to do those works that God has for you. And there are a lot of good works that we can do. A lot of little things. We know that we're in a battle. And I think about when they were rebuilding the wall, Nehemiah and Ezra's time. People looking out, a sword in one hand or a spear in one hand and building with the other. They were prepared. And that's the battle we're at. We can't necessarily just say, hey, we're worried about our adversary and that's it. There are still works that have to be done regardless. Random acts of kindness and things of that nature. Next slide, please. So I'm going to share a little bit about some of the things that I've learned along the way. But first, I'm going to give you a little story. I was hiking the Appalachian Trail, and I did that in April through June, July time frame. And if you've ever gone east on 80, you've noticed that the Appalachian Trail, you'll hit one ridge, and then you'll have a little dip where there's farmlands and things, and you'll hit another ridge. Well, I was going through Virginia, and I am a goal-focused person. I had a goal of hitting almost 20 miles a day, and get up at 5 o'clock, and I wanted to have 5 miles done by 9 o'clock. And then as I was going along, you know, I had benchmarks for the day. And I had a guidebook that told me where the next shelter was and where there was water and things like that. I was going through Virginia, and it was going to be a long mile day. And I'd come down off of one of the major hills, and it was farmland. And I don't like farmland. It's kind of boring. You got just the things. And I'm thinking about the miles. I'm thinking, well, it's flat. At least I'm going to be making good mileage today. And I hit this one dirt road, and there was a farmer there cutting grass. And it's like, okay, it's the middle of the afternoon, 1, 2 o'clock. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. And I wave, and he waves. And he stopped his tractor. Now, if you've ever taken a walk around here and stopped and talked to a farmer, you know you got at least 10, 15 minutes, right? If they turn off their tractor, you're in big trouble. And that's the way it was. It's like, okay. He parked in the shade right where I was at. So it's like, okay, at least the sun's not beating down with me. And I'm thinking, you know, thank you very much for opening up your property to allow other people to walk through and for letting, you know, this hiking easement and things like that. And then he was sharing about his crops and then how it'd been so dry. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm thirsty and things like that. And I was sharing a little bit about my, you know, I was taking a half time in life to find out what I had done right, what I had done wrong, so that way I could do the second half a little bit better. And I was sharing with him, and he was a Christian as well, and we started talking. In the back of my mind, I've got this watch going, thinking, okay, it's been 15, 20 minutes. It was just one of those times. We kept talking. Well, I kept listening and listening, and we had a good time. He was happy. I was having a good time anyway. And after the end of it, he's talking through, and it's like, well, what do you miss? And, well, I miss my family. I miss my evening bowl of ice cream. I love ice cream. And just, you know, it's not like you can go down to the local supermarket or go in the house and get an iced tea. You're pulling water from streams that have, you know, water in the 70, 80 degree range too. And it's just, there are some things you miss. I don't know if anyone saw the movie Castaway, but one of the scenes at the end that really brought this back to me was when Tom Hanks is on an airplane and he just, you know, the stewardess brought him a drink and he asked for more ice. You miss things like that. Well, in your Christian walk, you're going to miss things when you have to deviate from your ways, your previous ways. If you used to hang out with the guys in the bar, or your idea of hunting was going out to hunt and camp, and well, maybe if you got out in the woods for half an hour or something, but you hung out with the guys and just drank all day, you're going to have to change. There are things you're going to miss. Anyway, back to my story. When we finally got done, he started up his tractor again, and I think threw my backpack on, and I'm thinking, oh man, now I really have to put it into another gear to make up the miles, because the shelter was 8 or 9 miles away, and I figured, well, that's another 4 or 5 hours, and I don't know if I've got the legs for it. I'm tired, and I'm going to cook dinner. And I'm walking away just thinking about this for the next probably half hour or so, when I come to another road crossing, and there's a tree, and on the tree was a little piece of paper, and it said, "For Joe," and down the bottom was an ice-cold Coke. And it was like, oh, man, I blew it. That one little thing, I was so blessed. And there are ways that we can bless everybody else on the journey, because we all have our journey. We all have our problems. And maybe it's just that hug when you come into church. Maybe it's just a kind word. You know, today I heard Janine at the back saying, oh, something was so great. And it's like, man, that's what we need, that encouragement. And we can all do it. We're not all at that last shelter saying, hey, tomorrow I hit the end of the trail. Even there, God has work for you. There are things to do. God has a mission for each and every one of us. And we can't forget that. We need to keep learning. In our Christian lives, I mean, yeah, I've walked with the Lord 30 plus years, and I've learned a lot. I've had good times. I've had bad times. I've had rocky roads. I've had smooth sailing. I keep learning. You go back to the scripture, and sometimes God will just reveal a verse to you that you've never seen in another way. You need to get in there. You need to just keep pounding at the scriptures. Let it speak to you. Pray about it. Meditate on the word. Let it come speak to you. Same thing about hiking. You can have had, I've got a little over 3,000 trail miles. That's quite a few. I mean, I've spent months out in the woods. I've gone weeks without a shower, okay? So y'all know where I'm coming from. I've been there. I've experienced it. On my Christian journey, there are things we're learning all the time. I was out hiking, and one guy, I asked him, I said, well, how do you keep your water filter from clogging so often? Because a water filter, you got a little piece with a filter on the end that goes in the stream, and then it's got a tube and then a vacuum pump, and it pours it through a filtering mechanism. He says, oh, if you put an old coffee filter over there and just secure it with a rubber band, you won't get as much silt in there, and your filter will last a whole lot longer. You just have to replace that little piece of paper on the end. Well, in the Christian world, we have the same thing. Things that we learn every day. And it might just be a little tidbit that somebody speaks to you and says, hey, that's wrong. You offended that person when you did this or that. You need to make amends. Or some people are offended when you use the word, you know, gosh. It's a euphemism for God in the commandment. Don't use the word God. You know, little things like that. So what can we do not to offend others? We can speak. We can learn from each and every one of us. Everyone has something to share. I know there have been some people here who have done great missionary work, who have been preachers, who have taught. But everybody has a story. Everybody has a testimony that they can speak into someone else's life. We've been through a lot. And how often do you just talk to someone, they say, well, when this happened, here's what I did. You have to be able to come alongside and help someone else. We need to keep learning. Now, when I first became, I grew up in the Roman tradition, and when I was exposed to kind of non-denominationalism, I thought that was different. And I know there are a lot of people who think differently of different denominations and things like that, but when you get to heaven, it isn't going to be segregated. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. There are different ways of worshiping. And you can't just throw everything out and say, well, that's just not the way we do it. You have to be willing to change, but you got to accept others. When I was talking to Dave about this week's... Dave, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit more here. last week we were talking, and I said, when I get up here, I want to use a PowerPoint presentation. And Dave looked at me, put his hand on my shoulder, and said, PowerPoints are for people who can't preach. And I said, really? And I said, yeah. And he said, yeah, that's why I do it. And I said, okay, thanks, Dave. But it just helps me seeing the, you know, leading me through the things. And I said, I usually do devotionals. When we were up in New Hampshire, that was before moving here a dozen years ago or so, I was involved in our church's scouting group called the Royal Rangers. And if you've ever been involved in almost anything, you know how it starts out, hey, can you help? And before you know it, you're doing leading a group at a certain age, and then the leader moves on because his son moves up, and now you're there doing this. And then after a while, it's like, well, you know, the top guy is out. Can you stand in for him? And can you do that? And before you know it, you're leading the group. Well, I had to do a devotional every week. So 5-10 minute devotional for 5 to 17-year-old boys isn't that hard. And I did a lot of them. And I thought I was pretty good at them. But when we were up in New Hampshire, we also had chickens. A little unrelated here, but I'll tie it together. We had about a dozen chickens, and it was great. Marsh loved them. You know, we had the Rhode Island Reds and the New Hampshire Reds, the Plymouth Barred Rock ones, the big, heavy chickens. And once she said, we needed to get some Arcanas, the ones that actually lay green and blue eggs, which are pretty cool. And one day I was looking in the refrigerator, and there was a special egg carton. It had a rubber band around it. And so I asked my wife about it, and she said, oh, that's our son Josh's. And I open it up, and I look inside. And there were 7 eggs. And there was also a roll of bills with a rubber band around them. And it caught me wondering. I said, what's this about? And she said, you need to talk to our son Josh. So I did. I went, and I said, hey, Josh, what's with the eggs? And he said, well, Dad, you really don't want to know. And I said, yes, I do. Can you just tell me? He said, well, did you look inside? I said, yeah, there were 7 of them in there. He said, well, Dad, every time you do a terrible devotion, I put an egg in there. And I'm thinking, all right, but I'm a nerd. I'm saying, okay, probably 3-4 years of devotions, 50 a year, 150, 7, 6, 7. That's not bad, you know, 4 or 5% bad ones. I can live with that. That's not a bad percentage, right? 1 in 20, 25. And so I said, well, what about the money with the rubber band? He said, oh, Dad, every time I get a dozen, I sell them. So, one of the other lessons that I've learned from the trail, and this is related to our Christian walk, is that some of the best times are times we share with others. God is so good. I mean, I love being alone. I consider myself a lone wolf type person. When I go hunting, I want to go by myself. I don't want to see people. If I go out fishing, I don't want to be where there's a whole bunch of people. I want to be by myself. This morning I was talking to Dave a little bit, and we were relating, and it seems that some of the times we remember when we're hiking are times when we've been with others, when we've shared our experiences. And the same thing about our Christian walk. There are times when it's nice to be alone, when you're just one-on-one with God, and, you know, just those alone times, your quiet times, and you're learning so much. God's speaking to you. Well, when we lived up in New Hampshire, and here's a picture of the church up there, one of my passions at the time was rock climbing, and I was never really good at it, but I was okay. And we had a work Sunday, and one of the jobs was to change the floodlights that illuminated the steeple. So it was up on top. And right above the clock tower, there was an access door. And I got up there, and I was with another individual, a guy by the name of Matt Mason. And we're out there, and it's like, okay, go walk over the little one-foot ledge. We didn't worry about ropes or harnesses or anything. And I changed the light bulbs. And even though I don't have a fear of heights, I had an appreciation for them. And I go around, and I do the other ones. And I come back, and there's Matt sitting on the edge with his feet dangling. And I said, what's going on? I said, we got works to... He said, sit down for a minute. So I sat down. And he said, yeah, we're looking out over the city. And he said, you know, you just need to take these time to pray. And it's like, wait a minute, I am so goal-oriented, I almost missed it. But that time, that little sharing that he did with me made me realize that we have to share with others, that we can speak in other people's lives. Otherwise, they're going to miss it. And that just, we only sat down for 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah, maybe we didn't put in another drywall screw or something else down below, but we had time together. And those times are so precious. So the times you're with other Christians, share. It's just such a great thing. You're not walking it alone. If you're going through a tough time, there are others who have been there. There are others who can help you, who can speak to you. All right, next slide, please. In our Christian walk, there are times when, I don't know how well you can see that, but the one on the left, there's rocky trails. We hit tough times in our lives. We hit speed bumps. Things don't go exactly as planned. We have problems. Sometimes you just have to get through them. You don't go and bypass them just because it looks a little bit easier somewhere else. God has a purpose for you. There are works that you are to be doing. And sometimes it's tough. That's one of the things that when I go and I'm walking along through the woods, or lately I've been doing some trout fishing, and when you hit a stream and it's like slippery and this and that, it's like, that's okay. There are tough times for us. I once heard someone say that if you want to enjoy the beauty of a stream, just sit back and listen for a minute. Well, the ripples aren't where there aren't obstacles. Where there are rocks and obstacles to the water, that's what causes the beautiful noise that we hear is the ripples. So even if you may be in a downtime, a tough time, whatever, God has a plan for you, and sometimes this is what it takes to get through it. So there are different phases in our Christian walk. It's not going to be all smooth sailing. You don't just come to the Lord and all of a sudden everything is great. I know Dennis often mentioned that when he was talking to his, I think it was his nephew who was going to come helping him, when he came to the Lord, he said, listen, you need to put your seatbelt on. Things are going to get rough. Our adversary does not want us to have a nice, easy life. Staying with Christ is not always easy. Being a witness for Christ is not always easy. But it's what you're called to do. One of the other things that I've learned from hiking, and each of these have been different devotionals I've done with the boys at times, is that the level of commitment. Now, on the picture on the left, this is when I was doing the long trail in Vermont. It's Camel Mountain in the back, Camelback Mountain. And I met up with a crew that was working on the ski slope, and they took my picture, and it's like, ah, man, isn't this beautiful? It was the middle of October, probably 50 degrees. Nice, clear, you can see 10, 15 miles easily. Beautiful times. And that's the way our Christian walk is at times. We're on top of a mountaintop, and it's just like, Lord, life is so good. Well, the next morning, I was actually towards the evening when I had that picture taken, and I went down the bottom of the hill and up to the shelter on the other side. And the next morning, I woke up around 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was still dark. I don't idle well. I like going. So I packed up my stuff as quickly as I could, and hit the terrain, and started going up to the top of the mountain. And when I got up on top of there, it was still dark. And I was surprised to find another guy there. And he said he had just climbed up for the day to see the sunrise. So the middle picture is me with the sunrise on Camelback Mountain. And it was just such a special time. We just sat for 10, 15 minutes waiting for the sun to come up, sharing our lives, talking about what's going on, and enjoying it. And God will give you those times. And the last one, that was supposed to be a fantastic view. You could see probably for 20 miles, but in reality, I can only see for 50 feet. It was shrouded in mist. And sometimes our expectations in life are just that way. As we're going along, what we expect from our Christian walk is not what we encounter. We think, oh man, I've been doing everything right. God is so good. I'm being so blessed. And then you get a flat tire, or something else happens, or you get sick. These things happen. and our expectations are not always what God has intended. But also during the hiking thing, one of the things that I thought was funny is that we'll find people who will come out just on the weekends or just on the sunny days. And in church, you find people that just, they're great on Sundays. They get fed, and that's going to last them the whole week, or so they think. Well, if you want your daily bread, you have to go to the Word. It's part of who God has set us up to be. He didn't give him manna just one day out of seven. As a matter of fact, he didn't give him one out of seven. It was supposed to be a regular thing, walking with God, being fed. Next slide, please. Good works. I mentioned how that one little soda meant so much to me. You got to, I know there was a thing, pay it forward or something like that, but you got to bless other people. And it's not always going to be easy, and it's not always going to be what you expect. I know in the hiking world, there was a time when Marsha and I were driving along Route 9 in Vermont, and there's a place where the Long Trail and Appalachian Trail cross it, and there was a guy there. Well, when you're doing long-distance hiking, one of the problems is food. Every week or so, you hit a road, and you have to hitchhike into town. And then you can get back to the trail and carry your week's worth of food. Well, we stopped because there was a guy there who looked like he needed a ride into town. And we gave it to him, took him the 7-8 miles to the grocery store, dropped him off. And it made me realize how bad I must have smelled after all those weeks on the trail. It was bad, but it was helping somebody else. It was blessing them. And it's not always going to be easy. You're going to have to go out of your way and make sacrifices. But having been on the receiving end, I know what a joy it is to be blessed by somebody else. We need to bless others. All right, so in my conclusion, when you do long-distance hiking, you get a guidebook. It tells you where the water supplies are, where the shelters are, where the best tent sites are, where the road crossings are, so you can plan things out. In our Christian walk, you need a guidebook. And Scripture is necessary for that. You need to know what God's doing in your life, because your journey is not the same as everybody else's. There are going to be differences. And God's going to speak to you in many ways. There are a lot of things, a lot of good times. It's kind of nice to know that you got some ups coming where you're going to hit mountaintop experiences with God. When you just feel you've done something right, God quickens something to you and says, you need to change this in your life. And you go forward and you do it. You feel good. You know you're doing right. So, God has good works for all of us. There are things that He wants us to do. No matter where you are on the journey, there are times you have to just step out and help others. And you have to be able to accept help from others. I sometimes have a problem with that. But don't take the blessings away from others. There are a lot of good people out there. There are people out there, there are good people, though, who don't know the Lord. And one of the biggest things you can do, one of the best works, is help show people the path. Get them on there.